One of the classic questions that grace, I would say, at many Shabbos tables with regards to the beginning of Parshas Vayera relates to the pasuk as Avram feeds his guests, Perek Yudches, although he told them he would just take a bit of bread. As we know, that is Avram Avinu speak for a banquet. Tzadikim, Omrim Ma'at, Vosim Harbeh. And as the Pasuk describes what he brought to them, Pasuk Ches, Vayikach Chema V'chala, he takes butter, milk, Uben HaBokar Asher Osa, Vayitain Lifnehem. And the meat that he had prepared, he put it before them. V'omeid aleihem tachas ha'etz v'yocheilu. And they eat. And of course the question is, we have, as recipes go, what seems to be a recipe for a disaster. Basar b'chalav, milk and meat. How can it be? Now, the questions, the answers to this question come thick and fast. In this, and moreover, were it not for a certain answer that we will see at the end, the initial responses don't so much answer the question as disintegrate. After all, the Torah has not yet been given. We're talking about the stage where the Ovos elect to keep Tariag mitzvahs, where applicable. Moreover, there is a shaila as to whether or not the Malachim even ate. As true as it is, the Pasuk says, Vayochelu. Rashi says, Niru kemoshe achlu. They made it appear as if they were eating. After all, they are Malachim. How is it possible for them to make it appear as if they're eating, if they're not actually eating? The answer is, they're malachim. Mikan says Rashi, Shelo yishana adam min haminag. That's interesting. A person should not make an obvious deviation from the minag of the place that he's in. Minag hamokum on earth is to eat. And Avram is there. A person should not make a point of saying, no, we do it differently where we come from. And therefore, I think people who find themselves in the minyan with a different nusach to theirs have a lot to learn from the malachim, who made it, at the very least, look like they were eating, even while they weren't. Moreover, as we know, the essential problem is to have milk and meat together. Cooked together, specifically. If they're not cooked together, that's the rabbanah. One waits between meat and milk. But after milk, between meat, strictly speaking, one doesn't need to wait. And therefore, there are those who are medaktik in the order. If he brought to them first, as is mentioned in the Pasuk, Chema v'cholav, and then Ben HaBakar. So first they had milchiks, and then they had fleishiks, and never the twain shall meet, and they're okay. And anyone who knows the halachas of Basar b'chalav, and the way malachim work, and is familiar with the world as it was then, is not so much overly perturbed by this question. Lo and behold, the matter does not rest there. There is a Medrash Tehillim, which gives us an account of Moshe Rabbeinu's famous ascent to receive the Torah, and the malachim begin to remonstrate with him. And we have an account of this in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos in Daf Pei Tes, where he opens up the Aseres Hadibros and he says, well, none of the Torah seems to be applicable to you. In a practical terms, Anoche Hashem Elokecha, Asher Oteisicha, Meretz Mitzrayim. Were you in Mitzrayim? You weren't in Mitzrayim. He goes through them one by one and the malachim concede, the mitzvahs do not apply to them. And by the time he's finished with the Aseret HaDibros, the Malachim have given up. Olisa Lamorum Shavisa Shevi. He captures the Torah from the Malachim. The Medrash Tehillim offers a final, shall we say, Makeh Bepatish, a final blow to the Malachim, and it's quite something. On the words Mipi Olelim V'Yomkim Yisada To'oz, from the mouths of babes, the law is established. And it's amazing to see how the Medrash tracks this pasuk, because says the Medrash Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you, the Malachim, wish to receive the Torah. But when three of you went down to Avraham Avinu, you ate meat and milk together. So you struck out, and they were disqualified. Ad kedei kach. And the Medrash goes on to say, and kivyochel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, any child who comes home from cheder, from school, and his mother would dare to serve him meat and milk together, he'll say, Limdani Rabbeinu, my Rebbe told me, my teacher told me, I can't have meat and milk together. Every child knows that. Mipi olelim v'yonkim yisada to'oz. That's why it's connected to that pasuk. Even children know to avoid what you didn't avoid. And it's true. Every child knows. You can't have meat and milk together. You have to wait. They don't know the meaning of the word wait. But they do know the meaning of basa b'chol. They have no concept of how long an hour is. If they've counted to 10, it must have been at least 10 hours already. That follows. But meat and milk together certainly cannot be. Amazing. Says the Beis Halevi in Parshas Yisro, this will explain to us Minhag Yisroel. On Shavuos, half of the Ashkenazi Minhag is very well known. Namely, we eat milchix. Ma'achol e'cholof. And there's many, many reasons. What is perhaps not as well known is that the Ramah, as he presents what is behind the minhag of eating dairy products on Shavuos, is that actually that is not the full minhag. The full minhag is not just to eat milchix, but rather it's to eat milchix and then to eat fleishix. Why? What does that accomplish? So the Ramah says, and it's very interesting because according to the Ramah, the milchix per se is a vehicle towards something else. One of the special korban, the unique korban of Chag HaShavuos is the Shtei Alechem. Now, Shtei Alechem were the two loaves of bread, Chometz Teofeno, only brought on Shavuos. How do we have a zecher for the Shtei Alechem? After all, every Shabbos and every Yom Tov has Lechem Mishneh, so it will hardly be distinctive to have two loaves of bread. Therefore, says the Ramah, it's amazing. What we do is we start with milchix and then move to fleishix. And the reason why is because as you change from meat and milk, the halacha is that all the bread that was on the table, that was handled at the time that there was meat, milk on the table, needs to be changed. And new bread needs to be brought in for the meat part of the meal. And therefore, we in a sense increase the amount of bread via the shift from milk to meat. And that is a zecher for the Shtei Alechem. So both the milk and the meat are themselves a means towards an end. The final goal is Shtei Alechem. So says the Ramah. Says the Beis Halevi, it is possible nonetheless to bring it back. That is to say, the Ramah has told us, has advised us, that the full minhag is first to have milk and then to have meat, along with all the separations, you will end up changing bread and all of those things, says the Beis Halevi, but there is value in that separation itself, because it was over Basar B'Cholov that we were Zohar to receive the Torah more than anything else, and therefore on Shavuos, we make a point of demonstrating how makbid we are on Halachas of Basar B'Cholov, and first we have milchix, and then we change everything, and new bread, etc., because it is through that we receive the Torah. And what's interesting is, Lekemide de la Remise Baraisa, everything, all the statements of Chazal, alluded to somehow in the Torah, where do we find an allusion to this idea of all things, of Basar B'Cholov? says the Beis Halevi, it's actually mefurish in the Torah. Because in Parshas Kisisa, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shem Moshe, Ksav lecha es advarim ha'ele, ki al pi advarim ha'ele karati tcha bris ves Yisrael." Based on these things, I have forged the bris between you and Yisrael. Al pi advarim ha'ele. What are advarim ha'ele? We can only know. Except, as we do know, whenever you have a pronoun as such, advarim ha'ele, the reference is to the most recently mentioned matter. Immediately before the pasuk of Alpi Advarim Ha'ele Karati Tcha Bris Ve'es Yisrael are the words Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Do not eat meat and milk, says the pasuk. Alpi Advarim Ha'ele Karati Tcha Bris Ve'es Yisrael. Through that, we were Zohar to Torah. We are left to ponder, perhaps, of all the mitzvahs, it's a difficult question to ask, but of all the mitzvahs, the Malachim, and the Basar B'Cholav, and one could say that that's what they were served. Should they have objected? What is the meaning that they are disqualified from receiving the Torah because they ate Basar B'Cholav? I have a feeling. I prefer to leave it the question unanswered, if necessary. Better a good question than a bad teretz. But I have a feeling that the matter relates to a comment of the Ralbag. It is one of the most unusual comments I have seen in any Mefarish, and certainly in the Ralbag. With regards to Basar B'Cholav, what's it all about? We don't know. It's a chok. However, the Torah says, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. What is behind it? Around the kid in his mother's milk is the Isser Torah of any meat and milk being cooked together. But the Torah phrased it as not to cook the goat in its mother's milk. Says the Ralbag, what's so wrong about that situation, which is at the epicenter of the Isser of Basar B'Cholav, is that the mother's milk is really what's meant to make the child grow. How does he come from being a kid to an adult goat? By drinking his mother's milk, and his mother's milk is not the thing that he gets cooked in. There's something very wrong about that. What should have been a source of life, what should have made him bigger, he ends up it signifies his end. And says the Ralbag, by extension, any idea, which is perhaps a challenge, that should be confronted to make something better, should never be allowed to actually be the undoing of that very idea. What should be the mother's milk should never be what cooks the thing itself. The disputation between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu, and ultimately and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is really whether or not it is a good idea to entrust Hashem's Torah to physical man, with all of his weaknesses and with all of his propensity for error and the like. And the Malachim felt that it was a bad idea. Hashem Adonainu Ma'adir Shimcha B'chal Aretz Asher Tnohot Chal HaShamayim. Your name is mighty in the world, but your glory is in the heaven, not in earth. In other words, they saw the idea of handing over and trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word to physical man as overwhelmingly a negative idea, which is doomed to failure and degrading ultimately. Now, and the MS is, the opposite is true. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word can be brought down to this world and lived in this world with all the shortcomings and with all the weaknesses of physical life, that is a greater hod. It is a greater glory for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his word can light up the physical world. And therefore, I believe that what is referred to as Basar B'Cholav, what is referred to as the infraction of cooking a goat in its mother's milk, ultimately is the question of how to relate to physical existence itself. Is it the mother's milk? Can it make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word even greater if it is lived by in this world? Or will it just cook them dead and only lead to their undoing? And therefore, of all of the mitzvahs, it represents the confrontation between the Malachim and humankind. Ultimately, and with that, we're Zohar to Torah. So that's quite an unexpected discussion that came out of what seemed to be a very straightforward exchange with regards to the meal of the Malach. Now, there's a very difficult section as Rishon unfolds, and one of the Malachim says, I will come back, and Sarah will have a child. And Sarah laughs. And it's the next psukim are very difficult to read. She laughs, and then Hashem says, why did she laugh? And then she said she didn't laugh, and then she did. And one of the most important questions in this section of the Parsha is not actually about Sarah at all. It's about Avram, for a very simple reason. Why did Sarah laugh? That's a good question. Why did she say she didn't laugh? Is also a good question. But here's a better question. If she laughed, whether or not she should have, one thing is for sure. She hadn't heard this before.
Heard what?
That she was going to have a child. Because if she had, she would have laughed then, and not now. Avram Avinu was told that they're going to have a child at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Now that's 3 days prior. And we have a most unusual situation here. Because Avram and Sarah are married for so many years, no children. Avram himself hears unbelievable news and proceeds to spend the next 3 days. Doesn't tell Sarah. Apparently. And that's amazing. And this question is raised by the Ramban. What was he doing that was more important that he couldn't take 3 minutes just to let her know? He's busy with guests. It's the kasha of the Ramban. And there is the most fascinating answer to this question, which is to be found in the writings of Rav Leib Hyman Zatzal. He was the Rav of Beit Knesset Agro in Beit Pagan, passed away just 1 or 2 years ago. He was mechadish in Chumash in a formidable way. And he takes us back to the end of Parshas Lech Lecha and draws our attention to the flow of Perek Yud Zayin. That's the final Perek of Parshas Lech Lecha. If we would summarize events, really from the beginning, we would say that from Pasuk Aleph until Pasuk Yud Dalet, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Avram, changing his name firstly. He promises him that his descendants will be numerous. He gives him the mitzvah of Mila. And that's it. That is the substance of the contents of the first 14 psukim. From then on, Pasuk Tetvav, until the end, we have Sarah's name is changed, and Avram is told specifically that he will have a child. That's in Pasuk Tetzayin, Uveirachti Yosef, Vegam Nasati Mimenu Lecha Bein. She will have a child from you. Now, what's critical here is what lies between Pasuk Yudalid and Pasuk Tesvav. If you look in the Chumash, you will see there's a Samach there. A Samach between two Parshas represents Parsha Stum. That is to say, one section is ended and there is a disconnect. There's a Parsha Psucha, where it is open and the next one follows on, and a Parsha Stuma. And a Parsha Stuma represents a certain disconnect between the two sections. In the Sefer Torah, Parsha Psucha means that the rest of the line is left blank. In Parsha Stuma means that the next paragraph begins yet on the same line. Stuma means it's closed up. And that's very interesting. Because anyone who lanes Shvi will never pause between them. Because it's all the same thing. It's all the same idea. In the same direction. Avram's name is changed, and Sarah's name is changed, and they're going to have a child. And lo and behold, there is a break in the continuum. And what does it mean? What does it represent? And how can we know? There is a medrash. Medrash Brachos Rabbah, which says as follows. In Parsha Mem Zayin, Hanifta mechaveru, one who takes leave of his friend, ben gadol ben katan, whether he takes leave of someone great or small, tzarech litol mimenu rishus, he needs to ask permission to take leave of him. Mimia talamed. From where do we learn this? In other words, if you're talking to someone and you wish to stop talking with them, you say goodbye. You say something that indicates that you are requesting permission, taking your leave from them. Where do we see this? From Avram. How so? Says the Medrash. Pa'amachas haya Avram medaber im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was one time. Avram was speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bo malochi hasharis ledaber imo. Malachim came to speak with him. Amar lahen, he said to them, Nipater min hashchina. If I wish to, I'm currently speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I wish to deal with you, I will have to take leave of the Shechina. Shehi gedola mikem, which is greater than you, tchila first. Achakach ani medaber imachem. So he comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kevan shedibei HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Tzrochav, once he's finished speaking with Hashem, Amar lefanav ribon ha'olamim, Tzarich ani ledaber, I need to speak with these other guests who have arrived. Amar lo hipater b'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go in peace. Hadahu dichsiv, says the Medrash, and it is about this that the Pasuk says, Vaya'al Elokim me'al Avraham. Now, those four words, Vaya'al Elokim me'al Avraham, are critical because they will allow us to place this incident. The Medrash has spoken in abstract. There was this time. Avram is speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malachim came. He wants to speak to them, but first he needs to take leave from Hashem, which he does, and then Hashem says, okay, Lech l'shalom, as it says, Vayal Elokim me'al Avraham. Those words, Vayal Elokim me'al Avraham, are taken from Pasuk Kaf Beis of Perek Yud Zayin. Pasuk states, Vayichal ledaber ito, Vayal Elokim me'al Avraham. That means that the leave-taking that Avram has from HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentioned there is in order to go and speak with Malachim who have come to visit. When do Malachim come to visit him? In the beginning of Parshas Vayera. What does that tell us? It tells us that some of the section that is written in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha actually was being communicated to Avram as the Malachim arrived in the beginning of Parshas Vayera. And that is the reason why in between the two groups of Psukim, there is a Parsha Stuma. They are two Parshas. They were said at two separate times. Now our question, of course, will be, well, if they're said at two separate times, then why are they written one after the other? The answer is, it is the derech of the Torah, when it begins an inyan, when it begins a matter, to complete all of the communications that are pertinent to that matter, even though they may not necessarily have all been said at the same time. Clear. We find, for example, Parshas Haman. Everything about you need to know about the man, or the history of the man, was said in Parshas Bishalach, including the parts where Hashem told Moshe to take some of the man and put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which clearly did not happen in Parshas Bishalach, because there was no Mishkan yet built in Parshas Bishalach. Moreover, the Pasuk goes on to say the Jewish people ate the man for 40 years, which they cannot have done all in Parshas Bishalach. The Torah, having devoted the essential topic of that section of Bishalach to the man, will conclude every relevant piece of information with regards to the man, even things that did not happen at the time. It is called Torat HaHashlama, the approach of completion. The Torah gives a continuum to themes, not only events. And because, of course, everything that is in the second group of psukim is very much connected to things in the first group of psukim, the Torah puts them together. But be aware, they were not said at the same time. And how should we be aware they weren't said at the same time? Parsha Stuma. They are separated from each other. They are two distinct communications. They happened on two separate occasions. So we have on the one hand an amazing message, really, from the Torah. They're written one after the other, but they're prized apart from each other, which tells you that they are thematically connected but chronologically distinct. Specifically, the second part came as the Malachim were arriving. Says Rav Hyman, Acharei Hadvarim Ha'eleh. Now that we have seen the way the Medrash approaches the Psukim, our question is answered. If our question was, how can it be that Sarah had never heard before that she was going to have a child? Avram didn't tell her. Why didn't he tell her? According to this analysis, Avram himself only found out just before the Malachim came. And therefore, it is really the events of that day and before he has a chance to tell her, because he's dealing with the guests. When the guests go, then he'll tell Sarah, but they told her first. And that is how Sarah never knew prior to being told by the Malach from Avram, because Avram himself only found out shortly beforehand and was instantly inundated with his occupation with the Malach. So that's a very insightful and thought-provoking approach, with all of the concepts that it introduces as well, the concept of Parsha Psucha and Stuma, Torah Sahashlama, Ein Mukta Mamucha Batorah, and of course, a very solid answer to a rather disturbing question that was raised by the Rambam. Now, as we move further in Parshas Vayera, and Sodom is on the line, so there are a couple of very unusual psukim that we have in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Malachim have moved on. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vashem Amar, Hamechaseh ani mi Avraham, Asher ani Yoseh, am I withholding from Avram that which I'm about to do? And he goes on to talk about Avram, he'll be a great nation, and Pasuk Yud Tes, Laman Asher Yitzaveh, Espanav Espeso Acharav, he commands his children, he will command his children, his household, V'shomer Derech Hashem La'asot Tzedaka U'Mishpat. So Avram is great, and he does all these great things, and therefore I'm not going to withhold from him the information about Sodom. That's the simple reading of the Pasuk. And the Chasam Sofer points out that this is highly unusual. The whole build-up, in what sense? A Navi either receives Nevuah or he doesn't. We never find almost really a preamble, a Dinu Dvarim, a consultation, a self-consultation, as to whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell the Navi. He either does or he doesn't. And if he does, then he does. And if he doesn't, then nothing happens. When Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha, he said to him, Lech Lecha. And here, there's a couple of psukim of introduction. Hashem is saying, well, should I not tell him? Am I going to not tell him? But Avram is such a wonderful person. And if he just would have said it, then we would have heard it, and then we would have known. In the end, the bottom line is he told him. So what is behind this? I really should tell him. Tell him. And the Chasam Sofer's answer to this question is to be found in the introduction to his Tshuvas, in Chelek Yeredeya, which was actually printed by his children. He passed away before he was able to publish Yeredeya, but they published with also with this as part of the introduction. And it's from the Chasam Sofer. And he says, aside from all of the quality traits that a Navi needs to have, needs to have perfected his midos, he also needs time and peace and quiet, because he needs the solitude and the meditation in order to be perfectly attuned to receive a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu did not lead a quiet existence. He was busy the whole time with God's work, teaching people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, that people are coming and going the whole time. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, an amazing thing. Strictly speaking, shall we say, or technically speaking, Avram Avinu did not live in a climate that was conducive to receiving Nevuah. He didn't have a quiet moment in the day. And therefore, says Chasam Sofer, strictly speaking, he shouldn't really have been receiving Nevuah. Not because he doesn't deserve Nevuah. Conditions are not right for Nevuah. Avram Avinu lives a lifestyle that is the antithesis of the quiet that one needs for Nevuah. And this actually corresponds to a statement of the Netziv. It's a very well-known Rashi in this week's Parsha, that sorrow is greater in Nevuah than Avram. She was greater in Nevuah, says the Netziv. Well, how did that happen? The answer is because Sarah, hine ba'ohel. Sarah just had that much more peace and quiet than Avram did. Avram did never spare a minute in the day. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ha-mechaseh ani me'Avram, meaning, all things being equal, I should not be speaking to Avram. I mean, he's not in the frame of mind for a Nevuah, but how can I keep it from him? Especially as the reason why he's not in the frame of mind for receiving Nevuah is because he's telling everyone about me. And that's why the pasuk which says ki yadat, it's because he's lemana sheyetzave esbonov ve'esbeiso acharov v'shomer derech Hashem. He's only trying to preach and bring awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And therefore at a certain level, Hashem decides he should not miss out on the Nevuah that he would have received had he not chosen not to engage in that side of things. And then, because he put himself out, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, he will lose out in Nevuah. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up, so to speak, an executive channel to communicate the Nevuah. And the Chasam Sofer, of course, needs to be framed and qualified. But the Chasam Sofer drew a very powerful lesson from this, because he himself was involved with Talmidim. And he felt sometimes that if I wasn't teaching the young Tzi'irei Hatzon, the young Talmidim, how to learn Gemara, well, I could be advancing even higher and higher in study. And he said to his son at the end, he felt he never lost out. That means that all of the time that he devoted to his Talmidim, he was paid back manyfold in the time that he did have for himself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu never withheld from him what would have been his had he devoted his life to solitude and learning, by the fact that he wanted to spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in the yeshiva there in Pressburg. The final, or the conclusion of Pasuk Yud Tes is interesting. If we begin again from the beginning, Pasuk Yud Tes, Ki Yedatev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know him, or some say, I love him. Because look at what he does. He tells his household, his children, B'shamu derech Hashem, lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. Leman havi Hashem al Avram, eis asher diber alav. Now these final words are very intriguing. In Leman havi Hashem al Avram, eis asher diber alav, in order that Hashem would bring on Avram that which he spoke about him. Now, it sounds like, if we translate literally, that this is qualifying and giving context to Avram's work. He's teaching and he's preaching and he's telling them to do the right thing and spreading the word. Why? In order that Hashem will do for Avram everything that he said. That's his goal. And that's very interesting, because we are told in Pirkei Avos that is not the highest level of divine service. And Tignon Shisocho tells us, Perek Aleph, Mishneh Gimel, Atiyu Kavodim HaMisham Shinesarav HaManas LeKavod Pras, Don't do your mitzvahs and live a Torah lifestyle only to receive reward. Ella shalom anas lekabel pras. That's called l'shem shamayim. It's the higher level. It's still a mitzvah if you do it shelo lishma. Pirkei Avos is midas chasidus. It's the within the letter of the law. It's the midah of ahava, but the midah of ahava is the midah of Avram Avinu, Zera Avraham Avi. And so it's most striking, therefore, against all of that, that the pasuk states openly that Avram's goal was, he's doing all of these things in order that Hashem will do for him everything that he said. How can that be? Amanas lekabel pras. The Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, one of the two Rebbeim, the Haflora, Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, explains. And it's very interesting because it takes the idea which we used to, and it will add another dimension to it. Everyone knows, don't do it for the Sachar. Do it, why? Because do it because it's Ratzon Hashem. That should be your motivation. Okay. But now let's ask another question, if we may. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to giving us Sachar? We're not meant to be doing it for the Sachar. So far, Sachar Lavo. But how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to giving us Sachar? The answer is in the well-known Mishnah, to the end of Makkos, we say it after Pirkei Avos. Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos Sis Yisrael. Ultimately, the Sachar for mitzvahs comes in the form of a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate goal. So we have an interesting situation. We're not really meant to see the Sachar as something important. But given the nature of the Sachar, and it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen, ultimately, and in fact, because that's true, so come back to our definition of Lishma. The definition of Lishma is, I do it because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But what if he wants to give you Sachar? Which he does. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezachos Yis Yisrael. In the receiving of Sachar is also a fulfillment of the divine will as surely as the performance of a mitzvah. And that is the explanation of three words that we say in Pirkei Avos. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. As if to say, we normally understand schar mitzvah, mitzvah means, it's like mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, it's a very similar track. One mitzvah leads to the performance of another mitzvah. But the Mefarshim explain, schar mitzvah, mitzvah, the triangulation of the words is different. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah means the schar mitzvah itself is a mitzvah. Because what is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is the fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Receiving sachar is a fulfillment of his will. The sachar mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. Now, if that's true, so let's come back to Antigna Shisocho, who says you shouldn't do mitzvahs amanas lekabel pras. Well, why not? After all, my goal is to do Ratzon Hashem. To receive reward is also Ratzon Hashem. So then I should do it amanas lekabel pras. Why not? The answer, says Reb Chaim of Elozhin in the Ruach Chaim, is very simple. Because it's very easy to say that you're doing a mitzvah for the sake of reward because it's to fulfill the divine will to give you reward. But when you're receiving reward, it's hard to maintain that focus. And if you go down that path and you're not really as genuine as you think, so you may focus on the reward, and for the first few moments it may be in the interest of fulfilling the divine will, but ultimately it's in the interest of receiving the reward. Says Reb Chaim, could it be true in principle? Is it theoretically a good idea? Yes, but you know how you could test it? Says Reb Chaim. And as soon as he gives us this test, we instantly see what he's talking about. If it's about fulfillment of the divine will, what if someone else would receive the reward for all of your mitzvahs? Do you have the same drive? It is, after all, the fulfillment of the divine will. It's no less or more fulfilled whether it's you on the receiving end, but all of a sudden you might find yourself running out of enthusiasm. What happened? Perhaps it's because it was more about receiving, and therefore Antigna Shisocha is talking to people as they are. Al tu kavonim amshamshin, amanas lekavo pras. Stick to the l'shem shamayim. However, we should not, and by the way, although Reb Chaim said this, he may have had a certain episode in mind. In Vilna, as was often true in many places in Europe, it was not easy to get hold of Arba Minim. And it happened to be that there was the Vilna Gaon did as his best always to get a Mehudar set of Arba Minim, as Mehudar as he could. And there was one situation where one person had, I think, either Esrog or Hadassah, whatever it was, a woman, I think, and they sent a message, said, the Vilna Gaon kindly requests, would you be somehow be prepared to make these available to him? And she said, yes, on condition that the Sachar for his fulfillment of the mitzvah through these Hadassim will go to me. If he says yes, then I agree. So they were a little bit hesitant to come back to the Gaon, because there's a sting in the tail. The Hadassim will be yours, but the Sachar will be hers. They weren't sure how he would react. They came back, they put the proposal to him, and the Gaon was delighted. He said, finally, I have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah, lishma. I don't even have the possibility of doing the almanas lekabel pras, because I'm not going to get the pras. So this woman has given me the opportunity to be absolutely guaranteed that I'll fulfill the mitzvah lishma. And it was said that sukkos, he was never more happy with his avra minim than he was that sukkos. So when Reb Chaim talks about most people who would not react that way, he was zocher to be a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who did react that way. But they are certainly not the norm. But one of those people, of course, was Avraham Avinu. Says the Hafla, if you're on the Madrega, where you are absolutely pure in your will, in your drive, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you Sachar because it's a fulfillment of His will, then that's also part of L'Shem Shammai. And that's the Madrega for Avraham Avinu. L'mana vi Hashem al Avraham esa shediber alav. And I think we may add that the word Avraham is superfluous because the whole pasuk has been talking about Avraham. Ki yedativ, l'mana sheyitzaveh. But in the end of the pasuk it says Avraham. Why did it say Avraham again? Because the pronoun means it's him. When you mention him again, that means that Avraham was able to relate as Avraham receiving Sachar as neutrally as you would relate to someone else receiving Sachar. Okay, that's the Madrega that we're talking about, and therefore it was actually the highest Madrega of Lishma. That's the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. Now, I would like to take a look now, perhaps this may take up the balance of our time, at a pasuk in Perek Yutes. Yutes pasuk kaftes. And there are a number of angles to which to consider a comment of Rashi here. Perek Yutes pasuk kaftes. Much has happened. Sodom is already being destroyed. Lot has been has run away. And pasuk kaftes. Vayehi b'shacheis Elokim esarei hakikar. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the cities of that plain, Vayizkar Elokim es Avram, Hashem remembered Avram, Vayishalach es Lot mitoch hafecha, and He sent Lot from within the upheaval. He sent him away. Ba'foch es harim asher yashav bahein Lot. As He overturned the cities that Lot dwelt in. So, in our words, if we would paraphrase, as Sodom is being destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers Avram, and he sends Lot away. He shouldn't be part of that destruction. Rashi comments, and we need to consider these words very carefully. Vayizkor Elokim es Avraham. Asks Rashi, it's from his sources in the Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Nun Aleph, Mazeh Chirasu shel Avraham alot. How does remembering Avram lead to a benefit for Lot? Nizkar shehu Lot, Hashem remembered, so to speak, Shahaya Lot yodeya shesara ishta shel Avram. We referred to this last week, that Lot knew that Sarah is really Avram's wife. Vishamar she'amar Avram b'mitzrayim al Sarah achosihi, but he heard Avram saying in Mitzrayim that she's my sister. V'lo gila hadavar. He didn't say anything. He didn't reveal the matter. Shayachas alav, he had rachmanus on Avram. Lefichach, Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olav. So Hashem Adrachman Asani. Now, there are a number of questions that need to be addressed with regards to this Rashi. It's a well-known Rashi, I believe. Firstly, and this question is asked by the Mizrahi, clearly, the salvation of Lot is a function of Hashem remembering Avram. And Rashi explains that the something that Lot did for Avram, that's really the how the Pasuk works. That's the flow of the Pasuk. But the Mizrahi asks, why do we need, given that the center of gravity here, I mean the anchor of the matter is Avram. Hashem remembers Avram and saves Lot. What would Hashem need to remember about Avram in order to save Lot? Says the Mizrahi, I would have said the very fact that Lot is Avram's nephew and he's beloved on him. We saw last week Avram risks his life for Lot. So bear in mind that all the Pasuk says is Hashem remembered Avram and Lot was saved. What is it that one needs to remember? Only the fact that he is related to Avram. There shouldn't be a necessity to find a good deed that Lot did, given the fact that the focus is not so much on Lot, the focus is on Avram. And once the focus is on Avram, it's enough that Lot is his family, and that's all you need. Why is that not enough? Why is Rashi yet searching for some good deed that Lot did vis-a-vis Avram? And the Mizrahi is inclined to leave this matter unresolved. Interestingly, an answer is forthcoming from a very slim volume of comments on Rashi called Biuri Maharai, and it is authored by the Trumas HaDeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, who is famous for his halachic work Trumas HaDeshen, one of the great Ashkenazi Rishonim, and he has Biurim on Rashi, and he addresses this issue, and he says very simply, it cannot be merely or purely a matter of the fact that Lot is related to Avram. That can't be what it's about. And the reason why I say that is because if that's what it was about, when the Pasuk refers to Lot, it would have referred to Lot vis-a-vis Avram. It would have referred to Lot's family connection with Avram, as is always the case whenever the connection is of the essence. When Lot goes with him, Vayikach Avram es Lot ben Achiv, he's called his nephew. When they take Lot captive, they take Lot ben Achi Avram. Vayishma Avram kinishba Achiv. Whenever the family connection is what the matter is about, the family connection is mentioned in the Pasuk. And here it says, Vayizkor Elokim es Avram, Vayishlach es Lot. Who's Lot? We don't know. But we do know. The Pasuk doesn't say, Vayishlach es Lot ben Achiv, or es Lot Achiv. No. And therefore, apparently, the family connection is not enough. He needs to have done something. It's still relative to Avram, but he needs to have some good deed to his merit. That said, of all the good deeds that Lot did, and this is a question that is often asked, this seems to be a relatively minor good deed, if one could say, especially when we consider the fact that Lot, it seems, has just risked his life and defied the entire city of Sodom for the sake of Hachnosas Orchim. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, to risk your life for Hachnosas Orchim, that's a lot. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Not to say that Avram really is her husband is good, but it seems to be significantly less demanding, and Rashi didn't go for that. It's true that Lot, things got complicated. In the name of Achnasas Orchim, he also was prepared to do other things on other people's behalf. But nonetheless, does that disqualify the entire effort? That said, we can't ignore the fact that the Pasuk says Hashem remembered Avram and sent Lot. And therefore, even if it's not going to be the family connection alone that saves Lot, it will have to be something that Lot did that relates to Avram. And that's just in terms of the message that the Pasuk is coming from. It's got to be that by remembering Avram, that triggered, so to speak, a merit with regards to Lot. If that's true, then the good deed in question will have to be a good deed that Lot performed on Avram's behalf. And moreover, the Maharal Diskin, especially in light of our discussion last week when we spoke about the two ways, the two capacities that Lot travel together with Avram. Es Avram, Im Avram. When he's Es Avram, so then he's subservient to Avram, subject to Avram. When he's Im Avram, he's his own person, he doesn't need Avram. And here, once again, if we look in that light, Pasuk Kaftes says, Vayihi b'shacheis Elokim sarei hakikar, Vayizkor Elokim es Avram. So the simple reading is Hashem remembered Avram. But says the Maral Diskin, what the Medrash is saying is, Hashem remembered Lot when he was Es Avram, when he was together with Avram in the correct way. He was putting himself out for Avram. And still the question is, why is it as chus at all? And once again, the Mizrahi voices the question. He didn't say that Avram is her husband, and which would have gotten Avram killed. Says the Mizrahi, I put to you that many of Avram's enemies would probably never go that far. When you know that if you say that, he will be killed. That's an act of spite. It hardly seems to be an act of righteousness not to say something. All you have to do is say nothing. And who would say something? Does he wish evil on Avram? And ad kedei kach that it's considered to be a meritorious deed that he kept quiet. He would have to be a very vile type of person to say something. Says the Be'er Basodeh, there are two reasons why it is a meritorious deed. The first one we mentioned in passing last week, I'd heard it from more recent Mefarshim, so I was happy to see already in the Be'er Basodeh. It was a big deal. It was a meritorious deed for Lot not to say anything, for two reasons. Number one, once again, this we mentioned last week, that Avram is presenting himself as Sarai's brother, and people just can't stop plying him with presents. So that means that whoever Sarah's brother gets all the presents. Now Sarah had a brother. He was called Lot. And he's standing there watching as someone who isn't her brother says he is her brother, and he's raking in all of the gifts, whereas her actual real life brother is being told to get the door and carry the suitcases. And that's gotta hurt. He's gotta feel that. And he kept his peace. That's also recognized.
Who's her brother?
Lot. Moreover, says the Be'er Basodeh, which is interesting, not only did Lot miss out on a payoff, it could be very simply there's more to it. As long as no one knows, so then everything's okay. But if word gets out, and it could get out, that Avram isn't really her brother, or he isn't really just related to her, he's actually her husband. So Avram, as we know, v'horgu osivo sochi chayu. It is a life-threatening situation. For whom? For Avram. And also for Lot. Because if the king finds out that he was masquerading as her brother, even though that wasn't really true, there will be questions asked to those who knew and should have said something. It's not so easy to keep quiet under those circumstances. It's a sakana. There's a temptation. If you really feel that the word could get out, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of that inquiry as to why you didn't say something, so maybe it's actually safer just to side with Paro. That's a nisayon. That is actually mesiras nefesh, when we consider that part of things. And therefore, says the Be'er Basodeh, there is actually quite a good deal of weight to the silence of Lot here. But now, until now, we've discussed the question as to how to respond to what the Pasuk is saying. Our question was, maybe it's just the fact that they're related. And the answer is no, because the Pasuk doesn't say that. So we proceed with confidence that we're receiving the message from the Pasuk. It's not about their relationship. It's got to be about a good deed from Lot. But there's another question entirely, and that is, but why is it that their relationship was not enough? These are always two questions, and they're not the same question. The first question is, why is it so? And the second question is, how do we see it from the Pasuk? So having answered the question, how do you see from the Pasuk that their relationship wasn't enough? The Truma Sadeshin says because their relationship isn't mentioned. But the question that has not yet been addressed is, but in the Emet, why was the relationship not enough? Why did it need a good deed on the part of Lot? Says the Maskil David, in order to answer that question, we need to look again at the Pasuk. Because a simple reading of the Pasuk will give us a question all on its own. Pasuk Kaftes, Vayehi b'shacheis Elokim misarei hakikar. When Hashem destroyed all of the cities, Vayizkor Elokim es Abraham, he remembered Abraham, Vayishalach es Lot mitocha afecha, Ba'afoch es harim asher yoshev ben Lot. And when he did, when, as he was overturning those cities, he remembered Abram and he sent Lot away. Says the Maskil David, if you read this Pasuk, you will be given to understand that the consideration of Lot and the decision, so to speak, to release Lot and to allow him to escape happened at the time of the destruction. When the city was being destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, remembered Abram, things were set into motion, and off he went. That's not true. And we know it's not true. Things didn't happen that way. The salvation of Lot was actually programmed long before. It is for that reason that there were two malachim who came to Lot at the beginning of the night. One is to destroy Sodom, that's Gavriel, and one is to save Lot. That's Raphael, according to the Medrash, Michael, according to the Gemara. But there are two malachim. One is to save Lot. That means from the very outset, he is to be saved. So how can the Pasuk give us now to understand that it was the function of a remembrance that happened at the time of the destruction? It was planned long before the destruction that Lot was to be saved, and a Malach was sent there from the beginning to that end. Says the Maskil David, it is for this reason that we need to understand that what this good deed is doing for Lot is not to save him from Sodom. The salvation from Sodom has already been decided. And it's been decided because he is a relative of Avram. And that is why the same Malach, according to the Medrash, who healed Avram, saved Lot. Because it's part of the healing of Avram. That's what I heard from my father Zatzal many years ago. One Malach doesn't do two jobs. So how can the Malach who heals Avram save Lot? It's part of the healing of Avram. Because if Lot is destroyed, that compromises Avram's healing process. Because he cares about him. And that's all been decided before. Which means if the question is, why was the family relationship not enough itself to save Lot? The answer is, it was. And it's already been put in motion. So if that's the case, then what's Pasuk Kaftes? Pasuk Kaftes is something else. Lot is amazing. He has maximum chutzpah at a time of maximum danger. Sodom is being destroyed, and they say to him, Hahara himaleit, run away to the mountain. To where? To Avram Avinu. And Lot says, if I may, I know I'm running for my life, but I have my own thoughts as to where I should run. Not to Avram. He says, Hineinom, Matzah techachen pasuk yutes beinecha, I found favor in your eyes, apparently, or I hope so, or let's just assume so. Asher asiso imadiv lachios es nafshi, you've already let me live. Vanochu lo uchal limaleit hahara. I can't go back to Avram. Pentit bakani haraava mati. Bad things will happen to me there if I go to Avram. So I have a suggestion, if I may. I'd like to go to Tzoar. Hinei noha yirasos krovel anushama v'imitzar imalta nashama halo mitzari tuchi nafshi. Change of plan. I'm not sure who told Lot that he was allowed to change the plans. But apparently, it couldn't hurt to ask. And he asked, and his request was granted. And he went to Tzoar. Says the Maskil David, that consideration of sending him out in the direction that he wanted to go, which is not even the direction that he was told to go, and which was granted to him, was not part of the original plan. It was a decision that was made at the time of the destruction. The city is being overturned around them, and Lot is looking to amend the plans a little bit, and it's granted. Ba'afoches harim, as the city is being destroyed, where does he get the credit? Where does he get the merit in order to have that granted him? The answer is Lot once did a good deed for Avram, and therefore he's allowed to change the track as to where he runs away to. Says the Maskil Adavit. So you see there are two things happening. The essential salvation of Lot is planned from the outset, and it's because he's Avram's nephew. Salvation according to Lot, with his ultimate or interim address as to where he runs away to, that's already not part of the original plan, and that is given to him in recognition of this one deed that he did. And Adkan from the Maskil Adavit, which means if the question was, why is the family connection not enough? The answer is, it was originally, until Lot changed plans, and for that he needs extra credit. If we may add, given the very specific orientation of what he needs a schus for, he needs a schus to be able to run away to Tzoar, not to Avram. Why did he not want to go to Avram? Rashi says, he didn't want to go to Avram. It's a very sad moment, really. It's a moment of truth for Lot. Lot says, why am I being... In his estimation, why am I being saved here? I'm a tzaddik. I live in the place where it's the easiest place in the world to be a tzaddik, because you just have to be not like everyone else in Sodom. And therefore, I'm the tzaddik of the town. If I go back to Avram, and he was a real tzaddik, I'm going to be in trouble. I can't sustain my existence there. Every fault of mine will be highlighted by the place that I live. It is dangerous for me. That's what he means. Pentit bakani hara'av amati. Bad things will happen to me if I go back to Avram. Let me go to Tzoar. That's basically Sodom in training. I'll be okay there. And therefore, perhaps one may say, in terms of the cohesion of events, Lot asks not to go to Avram because it's a sakona for him. And his request is granted, but only because he once put himself in danger for Avram. In other words, the Midah Keneged Midah is, if Lot has put himself in Sakana for Avram originally, then it is not fitting that Avram should be a source of Sakana for Lot, which in his estimation it is, and he's allowed to go to neutral territory. So these are some comments with regards to this Rashi, and we'll leave it over there for this time.